What's up, everybody? Eric here. Welcome back to Orale Ball Heights, coming at you from El Sereno on a nice, chilly, rainy day. And today, I have the honor of talking to the folks behind Evil Cooks. Please introduce yourselves to folks.
Woo!
Hey, what's up, everyone? We're the Evil Cooks. This is Alex.
This is Elvia.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you
for having us.
It seems y'all have been doing more and more like TV interviews, podcasts.
I know.
You know, getting out there.
I know. It's been getting crazy.
Does it still feel nervous when like somebody's like, hey, we want to do this with you?
Not really. I think
I'm on like autopilot.
It's fun. It's
I like it.
I love it. I don't know.
It's always different. It's never like you always expect, like, oh, it's going to be like the same, but it's always something different.
And it feels natural now, I think, at some point.
All right. Nice.
Not that bad.
Nice. Cool. Well, one thing I wanted to come here to talk to you all about, aside from all the things we just went over in terms of this interview, was to finally get some clarification.
Oh, shit.
In terms of, Elvia, are we related?
Alex is like, hey, your primo's here. And I was like, all right. Yeah. Hey, okay. I was like, yeah.
Because we're both huertas.
We are.
And it's very rare for me to run into another huerta that isn't Dolores Huerta.
You know what's funny? My dad's it's a huerta.
Yeah.
It's Francisco Garcia Huerta. And the funny part is my daughter's name is Lucia Garcia Huerta. Same two last names.
So I'm like, are we related? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's not a very common name. I always thought that was funny. I was like, I wonder if we're related somehow. Because in my family, it's just like my immediate family, right? My parents, my siblings. I never really got to meet all my extended family, so I don't know where anybody is.
A lot of my dad's family either, because he's the huerta.
But do you guys have an idea where your family's from?
Like, they know where they're from. You know, they're from the rancho. They're from Michoacán and Puebla.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not like we can go to Ancestry.com and shit, right? And start looking
like
up paperwork.
My dad's family, he's a huerta, and he's from his family's from Monterrey, but they moved to Guanajuato. So.
All right.
And then my dad was born in Jalisco, and he grew up in Zacatecas and Nayarit.
So, all right. So just by default, like my geography.
So here, and there. Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. The huerta comes from my dad, and he grew up in Puebla. So,
okay.
Yeah. But enough about that. No more huertas here. Just us two.
Yes.
Really excited to have y'all on. Y'all have so much going on. You're doing pop-ups every weekend. You just started a new podcast, which we're going to talk about today as well. But as of late, like I said, y'all have been in the media, right? You've been in L.A. Taco. You've been in L.A. Times 101 list for best restaurants in L.A. I was just talking to y'all about watching the burger show on YouTube, right, where Elijah Wood is eating the McSatan taco, and it blew his mind.
Yeah. I'll never forget that day.
I know. It was crazy. It was like, what the
When fuck we were driving over there, Alex was like, who's that guy? I was like, just oh,
honest,
my God.
To be honest, I'm really bad with names. Like, I didn't know who he was.
You recognize him, though.
But yeah, when she told me, like,
I'm like, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay, I know him. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Anything. And then he comes in, and he's like this little thing, dude.
Yes, I was like, what the?
He's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
He really seems cool super guy. Chill. Yeah. That's cool. So what was that like, a little experience with, like, for Sweet Feast and the production and everything?
They're super friendly. We love Justin. He's always, like, he makes us feel, like, comfortable.
Yeah.
He comes here, like,
He'll just show up and bring us food.
Yeah.
It's like, so hell yeah.
He's a really cool guy.
Yo, anybody does that, you're my friend too.
Yeah.
Like, he really makes you feel like there's nothing happening. You forget about the camera and anything. He just tell you what to do and you just do it.
That's a great producer right there. Give you that comfort level. But yeah, we're going to talk about the McSatan. We're going to talk about their new podcast, The Dark Side of the Cooks. But first, I think folks should get to know y'all a little more. And we can do that with, like, if y'all could share where you're from, where you grew up.
I'm from El Sereno. I haven't really lived anywhere else. That's boring.
Born and raised.
I didn't really have anything crazy happen in my life. I lived a very comfortable life. My dad worked really hard to, you know, provide for his family. He worked 6 days. 12 hours in Chinga. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so high school, believe it or not, like, I never ditched. Because, dude, my mom found out, she would fucking kick my ass. And I went to private school, so they were paying. So, and she was a stay-at-home mom, so if I miss, of course, they would call home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, right,
I know.
They got you like that.
Yeah, so I lived a pretty comfortable, chill, nothing crazy life. Nothing compared to Alex.
Really?
Yeah, my life was a little bit crazy. I was born in Celaya, Guanajuato. I live in most of my life in Querétaro. I was moving all around. My family, I already said this thousands of times, but my family are bakers.
So
we used to sell bread in ranchitos, like every fiesta del pueblo. And used to travel a lot. So since I was five, like, I started working with them. Like,
yeah, you don't have a choice when you're in a family like that.
Yeah, so I used to move a lot. So I don't consider myself anymore from anywhere. I consider myself from the world.
You're a nomad.
I'm a nomad, basically. Because I can adapt to anywhere really easy.
I mean, people know you, like, they think you're from El Sereno.
Yeah, they think I'm from El Sereno. Because I love it. I love the place where I go. Like, you have to love that place. If you go live, like, in Boyle Heights, you have to love it somehow. Like, because you're there, they let you be there, you know?
Yeah, just come as you are. Just chill. Don't, you know, don't be a rude guest.
So I think that's what I love in Sereno now. Like people are really cool. Really cool. Like, I like the way that everyone says hi to me.
I know.
And I say hi. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Supposed to push play, and I'm all these years recording a podcast, and I still can't figure out what button it is to record.
Like, you can be doing something for years, and something happens. Like, yesterday, we went to Smorgasburg. We get there, we're setting up, and we forget
the recado most important negro. Thing, the recado negro.
Oh, so we're like, fuck, like. I've been doing this for so many years, and I still forget things.
Okay,
like,
and what else did we forget? We forget the keys of our van.
It happens.
So it happens. It happens.
Yeah. You know, because your mindset is like, cool, boom, 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 boom. We got to go. Get this in there. Amanos. We're late.
It's like we've like done this for a long time, and you would think we would have a checklist.
We have one internally.
Yeah.
Like, we see something, we're like, okay, that's in there. All right, that's in
and
there.
And there's four pairs of eyes, and we still forgot.
And I have done checklists in other jobs, and I know something's going to be missing at the end of the day. Like, nothing is perfect.
You got to roll with it. I think that's the best part of
it,
right?
Good thing we live close.
Yeah.
And my brother was cool enough to fucking take it to us.
It's like, hey, come down to Smorgasburg. Bring this, and you can get some ice cream or something.
Nah, dude, he's just like, here, come and get it.
So, circling back, you're saying your family made pan dulce and pan for fiestas.
My dad's family side does pan dulce, and my mom's side does pan de fiesta. It's like semitas.
Yeah.
And that's my life right there. I don't like to bake at all, but I can bake.
It's the process of it. Like, you got to wait for the dough to rise.
Yeah, it's like for example, today is a rainy day. You have to check the weather for your yeast to work.
That's true.
So it's about the climate, about like temperature, like time. Like, I don't like that time. I don't like to wait. I don't like to measure. So when it comes to food, like, you measure, but at the end of the day, you measure like grandma, you know, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, you have it in your hands, the measurements. So that's why I don't like baking that much, because it's like you have to follow certain rules.
Very strict. Yeah.
It's science.
It is. Basically. It's literal science. So when would be the ideal time to bake? What kind of temperature, weather we're looking at here?
I think when it's mild weather, like not too hot, not too cold, like it's perfect. It's perfect because when you're like waiting for your dough to rise, like, you're inside of a bakery and the heat is already circulating, so that helps a lot. But if the weather is too cold, like, you know, like buildings get cold, so the circulation doesn't work the same.
That's true. Where did your family learn the baking trade?
My grandpa, it's from Acámbaro, Guanajuato. That's what he says. We don't really know where he's from. And he learned over there in Acámbaro, Guanajuato. And my dad's family, to be honest, I don't know where he got it from, because my grandpa was a builder. He was an albañil. And my dad, and he has just one brother, and his brother was, both of them were bakers. So I think it was just the circumstances, like they got a job in a bakery and they got really good at it. Like they were like really good.
Nice. Do you have, both of y'all, do you have a favorite pan dulce?
I don't really eat pan.
No?
I don't really eat. I mean, you'll never be like, I'll never say, oh, you cemento un pan dulce. So. But if I do, it's like, las conchitas or los elotes. Elote?
Yeah, those are good. Like, I love anything stuffed, like with the Bavarian cream. But, like, I used to love, as a kid, get the conchas calientitas, put some beans on in it, and some nata. That's the...
I think it's Nutella? Fresh.
No, nata is the top of the milk. When you get, like, raw milk.
Oh, yeah, you're over here, you're, like, really with sweet. fresh milk. Like, like a fresh out of the cow milk.
So that was, like, a really, really nice snack.
Con frijolitos.
Are you beans?
Yeah, beans and nata.
All you see is people stuff ice cream.
No, you see a lot of
other stuff. I mean, Instagram is wild. You'll see the hamburger concha.
That's right.
Yeah, like when I see that, some people get grossed out, but I think, like, oh, my mouth is watering right now. Like, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way because I had beans in my conchas before, so I'm like, okay, like,
All right. So, I'm gonna try this beans and my concha thing.
Yeah, try let's see. A little bit of sour cream.
All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
What kind of beans though?
De la olla.
Black beans.
No, I'm from Querétaro, so in the middle of the country, right? So there we don't eat that many black beans. Black beans are more in the south.
Mm-hmm.
With more like pinto, Peruvian, flor de mayo, like. A little bit different.
See, because I'm visualizing it like,
that's
some,
why I'm like, what kind of beans?
Some refried beans would be like, right in there.
De la olla.
Straight. Dang. And okay, so, you know, that's where you grew up. Your family was moving around, work situations. I can relate to that a lot. When was it when you started thinking of, like, coming over here to the U.S.?
So, basically, my dad and my mom split up, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she didn't have the necessity to work that much, I guess, because she wasn't selling like Avon and that kind of stuff. But but when they split up, she started like working, but it was really hard for her because she ended up like doing bread too. Like, she was a baker, and that was mainly for men at that time.
You
didn't see that many women, like, because it was a really heavy job.
It's the same as like lunch trucks. You see a lot of men behind like the grill, tending the trompo.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll have like a mujer working the register or like serving water or something.
Yeah. So at that point, my mom was like, I'm not going to make it, so I have to go to USA. Mm. My aunt was already here. So my aunt helped her. She got here, and me and my sister stay in Mexico. And from there, like, my mom decided to bring us at one point. So that's when she decided, like, from one day to another, like, hey, you guys are coming over. Because it's not that easy that if I go back and just come back again, like, you know, you have to pay the coyote again and again and again. She's like, I just pay the coyote for you guys, and you guys come.
Nice. Where did y'all first, like, live when you moved over here?
When we moved over here, we got here in Long Beach.
Oh, nice. In Long Beach. All right.
And I lived there for good 15 years.
Was that your first time at the beach?
Yeah, I never seen a beach before. Even they took me to Big Bear. I never seen snow before.
Snow también, yeah.
So it was a life changing type of thing.
Hell yeah! For you, Elvia, when you were in school, were you already thinking like, cool, you're in a private school, got to get to college, like next move?
Yeah, we were brought up, you know, you have to go to college after, and I tried the whole college thing and. It wasn't for me. So I decided, I always baked for like my friends and then with my mom.
And you hate baking, you say?
No, I started
doing
cakes and stuff.
Oh, all right. Pastry chef. Yeah.
So then I decided to go to culinary school.
Oh, no, wait. You don't like pan dulce. That's right.
But before that, you didn't want to do culinary school. You were doing something else.
Oh, like child development.
Child development.
A very like common thing like, on the east side.
Yeah.
Like East LA College is like 30% child development.
That's where I went. Oh, shit. Damn.
It's like 20% criminal justice because like people trying to be cops or something.
Yeah. Child development. And then I wasn't happy. And I told my sister one day, I'm like, help me get into, like, culinary school. And my sister and my brother-in-law helped me. I applied. I got in. And my dad was like, what are you doing? Like, tú ya eres mujer. Tú ya cocinas. Tú ya esto y esto. And I was like, screw you, man. So in the beginning, like, he wasn't happy.
All right.
And then he saw what I was doing. You know, I got a job. It was providing. It was paying my bills. He's like, okay, pues. It's all right.
What coloring school did you end up at?
I went to Le Cordon Bleu.
Like, explain that a little bit to folks. Where is it? Like, how is it?
It's a traditional French.
French school?
Wait, there's one by the Arclight, right? In Hollywood. Or was.
They all closed down.
They all closed down.
There's just one in New York.
They should give me all fucking my money back. There's still right the one here, in France.
It was right here in Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Yeah, super expensive.
It's a private school.
It didn't really teach you. They don't teach you anything. They just teach you the fundamentals and good luck because it's totally different out
here.
But
I think it's like any career. Like at the end of the day, they teach you fundamentals and you go out there in the world and
explain. So here you go.
But you weren't fucking classically trained and you were self-taught. True. And you didn't pay for it.
I think that's the best
pay
point.
For it differently.
But I don't regret it because it brought me to where I am now.
Nice.
So I try to see it as the most positive that I can.
Where were some of those first jobs you had out of school?
I worked at Equators, this little restaurant in Pasadena. I stodged a lot. Different little restaurants, bakeries in Beverly Hills. A lot of those bakeries use box cake mix.
It's so much faster, right?
And then I ended up at UCLA and I was there for like 10 years and it was comfortable because I was game
working
crazy.
At UCLA.
Yeah. They have UCLA's on the top five for like best foods in like college.
Really?
Everything, like 99% of everything is made in-house. Dressings, beans, rice.
Wow.
Nothing is canned other than like, you know, your pineapple, whatever.
Or some stuff, yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Everything's in-house. Each dining hall has a theme. So there's an Asian theme where they specifically do, like, Japanese, Korean. They have another that's Mediterranean. Another that's American, which you have your burgers, your pizzas. And then where I worked was, it was weird. It was half Mexican and half Chinese.
Oh, that's perfect.
It sounds like Juarez.
Comida chicana. China mexicana.
Yeah. So I ran the kitchen there. And
oh, wow.
It was pretty cool. Like, I was content. I wasn't happy, but I was just.
You have a job.
I was like this.
Yeah, cruising by.
And then my dad passed away, and man, I really went down. And that's when I just felt like I need to do something with, like, my career. I need to. I don't know, make connections. That's the first thing I thought of. And then that's how I met Alex, trying to connect. I'm like, I think you remember, I'm like, I need to prick your brain, dude. Yeah. You know? I'm going to stick by you.
Where did y'all meet? Were you like at UCLA at the chat line or what?
No. She's lying to my DMs.
I know about that.
I'm like, yeah. Who's this girl?
Yeah.
But like, tell me a little bit more. How was it working at a big institution like that, like UCLA? Because, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to imagine. You know, I'm at home. I'm cooking my little eggs and stuff. But to be part of a team and manage a team and coordinate all that stuff.
So it was like big volume. So I was doing like 100 pounds of rice, like, I don't know, like, huge quantities.
Daily.
Having to work with so many characters, dude, it's so draining. Mm.
The people aspect of the job, yeah.
Yeah, so draining con las señoras, and then you have your señores.
I think, like I always say, like, any job, like, I think the draining part is the human part. Like, you have to adapt to their way to be.
Both your the team you're with, your coworkers, and then like if you are the one at the counter, like the people picking up the food.
Yeah, my chef didn't like me. I was that like I wouldn't let myself, so I would always kind of talk back.
Hell yeah.
And one day I told him like, "Eres pendejo, eres un pendejo," and man, he fucking he made my life really hard there by not like getting me promoted to where
I bet, yeah.
I was, and I hope he's fucking listening, man.
I hope so, too. That means my show gets out there.
Yeah. What else? I don't know. It was just, I loved certain people there. I still talk to them. A lot of them have helped us.
Nice.
Have helped us, you know, through doing big events, little pop-ups.
Catering, yeah.
And I'm so grateful. Very grateful for them.
Nice. How did you, I mean, you already shared that, you know, your family were bakers, and that part of the reason you ended up in the U.S. for you, Alex. So how did you start getting more into other aspects of, you know, the arts other than baking?
So I think when I decide, no, I didn't decide to start cooking. I just got this memory, like, my last days in Mexico, my aunt was really ill. And one day she couldn't get up and do breakfast for herself. Mm. So I got up and I did breakfast for her. And she was like, "Alex, you cook really good. Like, you should do this for a living." And I'm like, "I don't know. Like, I don't think it's something that I want." That's it. That was a whole conversation. So that stayed in my head somehow. So I got here. My mom was like, "You're going to go to school." So she signed me up for school. And
do you remember what school you went to?
I went to Polytechnic High School.
Yeah, that's where Snoop Dogg went.
Yeah, a lot of those famous people from Long Beach went there.
Yeah.
Jenny Rivera, Cameron Diaz.
I used to live a couple of blocks away from there. I lived in Long Beach, too.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy when I got here. Like, it was crazy. So I got into high school, and my mom got an apartment, a single apartment for me, my sister, and her. It was pretty cool. And at some point, she didn't have enough money for rent.
Mm.
So I had to go to work and go to school. And as I said before, like I was illegally here, and I couldn't get any other job and anywhere.
Yeah,
so
just under the table.
I got a job as a dishwasher. And from there, like, I started watching people cooking. And all my life, I've been, like, drawing, doing, like, creative things, and I was like, this is a kind of art, so I like this. It's like when you see a plate, it's like a plain canvas, and you can do whatever you
want.
That's
true, it is a white plate, yeah.
So I start asking to the cooks, like, how you do that? Why you do that? Like,
¿Cómo se hace eso?
Hey, man, why are you, like, smudging raspberry on this plate?
Yeah, and they're like, you have to taste everything, like, and I start tasting everything, and I start, like, trying to help them to plate things. Like, even I was a dishwasher, and from there, like, I asked for an opportunity to be a prep cook, to know how to prep everything for the cooks, have everything ready.
So you're the one, you know, slicing potatoes, peeling onions, well, not peeling onions, peeling carrots, things like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what's the funny part? I was doing it for free. I had to stash because it was a Japanese chef. And he was really strict, and he was like, "I'm not going to pay you to teach you. Like, if you really want to learn, like, come over on your days off or, like, the shift before your shift."
Damn.
And I'm like, "Okay, I'm down." So I was working probably, like, 20 hours, I want to say, sometimes. Like, I was just going to go. I used to go home, sleep, come back in the morning. And it was, like, it was fun. It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Part of me is like, man, you had to be at that age to be able to do that.
So at that point, at some point, I wasn't going to school anymore. I was just showing up, like, at the end of the
period,
just not the quarters, and do, like, a test. And that was it. I had a friend in the office, so he was like helping me with the absence and all that kind of stuff.
He had la gripa.
Yeah, so
for 2 months.
So from there, I fell in love with the kitchen. I was like decided to do something in the kitchen.
Nice. So switching it up a little bit for both of y'all, you know, a big aspect of Evil Cooks is, like, you know, we're rockeros, metal, we're different. When did y'all start getting into music? Like, you know, like really fucking vibing with it.
I've always had music in my life. My dad would sing, play guitar.
Nice.
And then he would blast his rancheras in the car, dude, like if we weren't there. So I've had music. Nice. And then my siblings, my sister was into like the new wave punk. Mm. My brother was into ska punk, and then my other brother was into metal, so all that, it's like
us
morphed me.
Fucking dope. You're getting a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So
what about for you, Alex?
For me, my family, my mom loves to sing. Right now,
she's a karaoke queen.
And,
on TikTok.
And she was I think that was her dream when she was a kid, like, become like an artist.
All right.
A singer. And she always loved to sing. So from her, my dad used to love to dance, so he used to play music all the time. And then the bakers in my grandpa's bakery used to play metal all the time.
Hey.
So I used to steal the cassettes and put it on blast on my house. So from there.
Nice. Do y'all have any favorite bands you'd like?
That's a hard question. It's really hard to answer that one.
Yeah. I mean, you got a Kiss shirt going on right now.
I love Kiss, and I know Kiss is not the hardest band out there, but...
No.
But, you know, like, I still have the first vinyl. That was my first vinyl
ever. Oh, wow.
So that's why I love Kiss. And they are
They're good performers.
They're unique.
Oh, yeah. They set themselves apart with that, with the theater aspect of it. Yeah.
We went to go see them 2 years ago when they were over here in... where were they?
It was in Orange County in...
I don't know.
Orange County.
They're still making really the good rounds. Yeah, yeah. Was there a band? Let me try to narrow the question now. Was there a band that y'all immediately gravitated to as soon as you heard it?
Depeche Mode. That's like my...
Hell yeah.
My number one.
Oh, it's really hard.
I listen to everything. He has a wide... You think Como Se Mira, but he like listens to cumbias all the time.
Because of my mom. I listen to a lot of... Have you ever heard of Men at Work? Like,
yeah, man. Australia.
Yeah, Australia. Because of my dad. But I really, really love like Spanish metal, like Ángeles del Infierno, because that was the first things that I was listening to. Transmetal. But if you tell me about like any American bands, probably it's going to be Metallica, Megadeth.
Yeah, yeah, the thrash metal, the big four. Thrash metal. Yeah, that's where my lane is at, thrash metal. I'm super eclectic. I can go from like everything, but if you're going to ask me, that's the one thing I could listen to. That's my lane right there.
All
right. So, I'm always like picking up on new stuff, so that's dope. I know when y'all were doing all of this stuff when you were, you know, coming up, you were at UCLA working, you know, you were over here putting in extra hours working to learn, you know, how to do prep and all this other stuff. What was it like for y'all, you know, when continuing to progress and like starting to get to a point with, especially with you, right, with their like, I need to do something different. Like, what was it that y'all were, like, thinking of? Like, you want to do your own restaurant? You want to work at somewhere else?
I just wanted... My goal was just to talk to other cooks to see what they were doing.
Okay.
Because where I worked is totally different than, like, a regular restaurant or, like, a pop-up. So I wanted to get a feel of what else was out there. And then that's... And then I started helping you at the other Los Puercos with like small little pop-ups that they would have. Well, not small.
I was working at the other Los Puercos. I think the first event you helped us was the football.
The football,
What? Like, explain to folks, what is the other Los Puercos?
The other Los Puercos used to be a restaurant with a Chicano vibe influence. They used to be a food truck, and they opened a restaurant. I ended up working with them, and it was really, really fun times, like, working for them, because they give me the freedom to create. Mm. Like, they have their menu, but we used to run, like, weekly specials.
And, all right.
And, like, I tell everyone, I never cooked Mexican before. I cook, my personal training was more, like, French, Italian.
The classic cuisines.
And I started, like, cooking their, like, specials from my memories as a kid. And it was fun. It was really fun. At some point, we started doing a monthly type of fine dining menus.
Okay.
Along with some, like, events with music, lowrider cars, and all that kind of stuff.
You turn it into an event.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun. It was really fun. So we used to have, like, a couple of events, and we needed some hands, and she was like, I'm down to help. And she was there to help us.
Get a chicle.
I think the first time I had Dia de los Puercos was at their truck. And I remember, wow, this is ingenious. Like, it was an esquite, but then they put bacon bits on top of it. I was like,
Mexicorn.
Like, it was mind-blowing. I was like, how come nobody's done that before? It's those little things that are like, man.
Have you ever tried the Hot Pocket?
No.
It was empanada filled with grape jelly, peanut butter, and bacon, and it was deep fried.
Oh, man.
It was really, really good. Like, Rick was a genius.
Yeah, that's also part of it, too, is it's a lot of rich food. And I'm like, una vez al año no me da ese año.
Yeah. I had to try everything on the menu, and it was really good. Like, I was already diagnosed with my diabetes, but I was like, okay, not going to kill me. It's not going to kill me. Just one.
So y'all met there, and then is that where, like, y'all started dating and, like, just, you know, like, hanging out more?
No, we just hung out just to go eat, and then he told me about... I already knew about Evil Cooks.
Because Evil Cooks started there at Dia de los Puercos. I was doing your shirts, your drawing stuff, all right. And putting in a shirt just to sell it to cooks. And that's
basically the logo you have now, right? The Zeke?
Yeah, Zeke, yeah. That was the first drawing that I did. And I think that was the connection right there, the shirts. Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Can I have one?
We trade shirts for a shirt for guayabas.
That's a good trade right there. Yeah. Nice. So, all right. So that started out the idea for Evil Cooks. Is something you drew up and then you put it on shirts and you started selling it.
Yes, that was the main idea. I didn't thought about, like, doing a pop-up or anything. It was just making shirts, selling the shirts, like, next try income. Didn't have any idea they had any potential. I was like, okay, it's just a drawing, just some shirts.
Yeah, yeah. So when did that potential start becoming a reality of, like, all right, you have this, you know, little thing you're doing on the side. Like, fast forward, I'm assuming y'all are together, working together more by now, is... Fast forwarding to when the idea of, like, let's turn this into a pop-up, like, this is something we can do. How did that happen?
Dinner.
It was dinner that I did in my house, and it was just a taco prefix menu. It was something type of fine dining kind of stuff, and it was just for 20 people. So people already knew me, how I was cooking. Like, I was cooking already at that time, like, 16, 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And already people knew my style of cooking, and I tell them, like, I'm going to do this to the best followers that I had. Like, I'm going to do this. And they were like, we're down.
Special guests.
Yeah. So they went over. I did the dinner. And I kept working at Dia de los Puercos. But at some point, from one day to another, I was like, you know what? Like, this is it. Like, that's it for me. So from one day to another, cold turkey, like, thank you. Like, I really appreciate everything. But I think it's time for me to...
You knew.
Yeah. To do something.
I will say that the day of his pop-up, I did miss it just to go to a concert to Depeche Mode. He's like, I need your help. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, I've been waiting for this. He made me cry. I was like, I can't miss Dave Gahan.
But she ended up going at the end of the night.
I know, after. I asked my sister, I'm like, just drop me off, dude.
Just drop me off.
But the day was when the La Bruja was born. The flan taco.
Yeah.
Interesting. It explains to folks what is it if they hadn't had the pleasure of having that taco.
Well, he just asked me, he's like, hey, can you come up with, like, a dessert taco? I was like, okay.
Because I was doing already dessert tacos for dinners at Dia de los Puercos. At that point, I was doing the camote con leche, el gansito. And I wanted to do something for my menu, like something different. I told her, like, if you want to really pick up my brain, like...
Help me out.
Do a dessert taco.
And I'm on, like, on my break smoking cigarette. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, a dessert taco?
You mean a choco taco? Then I'm
like, flan. I was like, a flan, a custard. You can't go wrong with the custard.
So that's when we decide to do the flan taco. And I was like, I'm just going to call La Bruja because that's her handle name on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was it's really good.
It's evolved.
Has evolved a lot.
Yeah, it's gone through a lot of stages. And I think where it's at now, I think we've perfected it.
Yeah, I can imagine. All these years later, right?
Because the first tortilla was like a chia.
It was a chia tortilla.
Uh-huh. It was like a legit crepe. And then from there, we added the masa.
We start mixing the corn masa with the flour.
Get better consistency. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we're good now.
Nice.
She's done.
So when was it? So you went into Dia de los Puercos. It's like, all right, thanks, y'all. But I'm going to go do my thing. How was it, like, those first couple of years, like, getting things off the ground?
That was 2018 when you left Puercos.
No. It was 2017. It was November because I went to Pasadena. To the...
It was 2018. Yeah,
de los Muertos thing. No, it was 2017.
Why is that that long ago either?
It was 2017. I'll show you some pictures.
Dude, please. I know my dates.
But no, she's really bad with dates. Like, she forgets what she ate yesterday.
We're both in the same boat.
So
that just goes to show your bad memory.
I know. So, yeah, it was really hard. It was really hard. At some point, I was like, what I did? Like, should I go back to work? Because I'm not making enough for the bills. And, yeah, you can regret to do things like that. But at the end of the day, like, you have to take the bull. How did they say?
Bull by the horns.
By the horns.
We had a good friend help us out, give us catering gigs.
Oh, yeah. That's Chendo.
Chendo, too.
From Balam.
From Balam.
Memo from Distrito 14.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot of people behind Evil because, like, we couldn't make it without them.
Chendo was, he loaned us his plancha.
Yeah.
We bought one.
We bought one.
And I told him, like, turn it on. And, of course, he didn't check it. The day comes, he's like, it doesn't work.
A brand new plancha. So we're like, Chendo, we need a plancha. He's like, come over, take ours.
Yeah.
That's tight.
So the first gig was from Guillermo.
White Memorial.
White Memorial. Guillermo hooked us up with the White Memorial. And the plancha was because of Chendo from Balam.
That's so fucking dope.
Yeah, and then during that time, we were emailing a lot of breweries. No one wanted us. No one. Because
they never heard of y'all.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like rainy days when we started. So one time I sold probably $16 and I was like,
damn.
Like, what am I going to do?
All the time and energy and food? Like, just do all of that?
You get discouraged a lot. Like, it's not the only time that it happened, but is the most memorable one that I have. But, yeah, like, a lot of things like that, like, put you back on, like, should I go back to work?
Yeah, it's natural because it is hard. When did y'all start seeing, like, the turnover of, like, oh, shit, like, you know, people are starting to, like, recognize us. We're starting to get more folks.
Chendo gave us the opportunity to help him out for Taco Madness.
Hey, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we did the flan taco. I think.
Oh, that was like a couple of years ago también. Yeah. Then that was when shout out to Francisco from Munchies
that
was there. Yeah.
That was 2019. Taco Madness was 2019.
It was. Yeah. Yes.
That's so what I'm saying. You left.
I'll check. So, yeah, like, from there, like, we start seeing a little bit more business. Like, I tell everyone, like, even if you have a huge following, even if a lot of people know about you, like, it's going to be good days and bad days at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but from there, like, everything started picking up. Like, people started recognizing the flan taco. A lot more people start, like, talking about it and asking for it. So that's when we decided to have, like, a more set menu. Because we had to have the flan taco for everyone. Everyone wanted to try it.
Yeah. Because before that, to me, at that point at Taco Madness, like, y'all were already in my book, right? You were, like, I've had y'all like tacos de canasta, gorditas, tortas, tacos. I was like, and I still remember like the first time I went to Sarah's when y'all were there, Sarah's Market.
Sarah's Market, yeah. Too.
It's oh, good. Yes.
And you were wearing the lucha mask. Yeah,
that was for the tortas ahogadas? So
that was the tortas ahogadas, I think. And it was like, I always try to do like these tributes to certain times of my life. Mm. And the mask was because when I did the first pop-up ever here in the States, it was, I don't know that day, I'm going to say it because I'm probably going to be wrong, but it was in Long Beach, and I used to do Torta Wednesdays.
All right.
My friend used to let her, restaurant was really low on business, and she was like, just do something, like, I lend you the restaurant Wednesdays.
Nice.
And I was doing Torta Wednesdays, and it was Tortas El Luchador.
Oh.
And I used to wear mascara, so I was like, okay, I'm referring to that.
Yeah, because for those of y'all not in the know, there is a famous luchador in Mexico who, as they were getting older, I think it was Solar.
Solar.
Yeah, they started getting older. The wrestlers, you know, their livelihood is in their bodies. So as they get older, they start looking for alternatives, like, what am I going to do? Money. You know, how am I going to survive afterward? And a lot of them actually end up opening up gyms, right, in schools to train people.
But now they open a lot of food places. Like, now, yeah. Now he has his own taqueria.
Yeah, so Solar was the first one to be like, oh, like, he opened up a torta spa. You know, he had, like, a fucking dope-ass menu, dope tortas. And even in a documentary, I think it's on Netflix, they were interviewing him, and he was, like, talking about how he opened up his restaurant, and people would clown him about, like, oh, there's a torta man.
Yeah.
Pinche tortero.
And I started doing it the luchador thing because my stepdad is a luchador here
hey.
In L.A. So
we were, ¿cómo like, se llama?
Into lucha libre. Lobo Salvaje.
Lobo Salvaje.
No,
Lobo
but
Salvaje.
You guys used to...
We used to do lucha libre here in L.A. Used, like, small venues, local luchadores. It was fun. It was fun back in the day. Like, we did it for a good 3 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How were you helping out?
I was the one, like, doing the flyers. Like,
I
put the money for
right.
the ring. And he knew all the luchadores. So we used to
bring
them.
That's hella dope.
On top of cooking.
So on top of cooking. At that time, I was cooking in Riverside for Café Sevilla. So I used to drive all the way to here in L.A., like, use on the weekends for the Lucha Libre. And go back to work.
Yo, man, those lucha shows are amazing. I grew up with my dad being a luchador también in Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, and he had to stop because he got hurt, and I was already in the picture, right? So you have a family to support. You can't do anything, you know, anymore. So you move on. But that is, like, left a giant... I mean, people know this. I talk about Lucha Libre all the time. If you follow me on social media, you see that I'm a... at lucha shows like almost once a month, so I'm always like thinking of like, well, how can lucha go to the next place? And have y'all thought about that, like maybe doing more like lucha collaborations?
At the beginning, we wanted to do like lucha libre shows with food included, but I don't know, it was just an idea.
Yeah, that worked in Texas.
The El Bulla?
Yeah, La Bulla. There's
something
a few.
Like La Bulla is like music, lucha libre, food.
It's like a whole spectacle.
Like, I was thinking more like, you know, like medieval times, like you have the show and like the dinner, like lucha libre and the dinner, like an arena type of thing.
Hell yeah, man. You work with the promotion, like you get a lucha show, and then, you know, as part of your ticket, you get a torta and a michelada.
Hell yeah. So I was thinking of something like that.
Santino Brothers in Southgate and Bell Gardens.
I got to know them when we were doing lucha libre. Santino Brothers, where's the other one? Lucha Baboon, the lady from Lucha Bamboo.
Oh, yeah, the ones that always do it at the Mayan. Yeah.
They don't do it anymore since pandemic, but...
No.
But, yeah, it's a lot of people doing lucha libre out there. Like, we don't know, but small venues doing lucha
dude,
libre.
Like, the last, like, before the pandemic hit, I saw lucha libre, like, in South Central, in this little quinceañera hall.
Yeah. My stepdad started doing it again now. It's... His lucha libre thing now, it's called MWA. MWA, Mexican Wrestling Entertainment.
So there's Fuerza Mexicana, Lucha Libre. There's like a couple around in the city.
Yeah, Fuerza Mexicana. Yeah. Some good luchadores from Mexico, FML.
Yeah. I've been to a few of those shows. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like the only time, honestly, you can see like Dr. Wagner, Blue Demon.
I'm a big fan of Dr. Wagner.
Yeah, Casanegros was here like not too long ago. So yeah, those are the kind of posters you see on the phone poles.
Yeah.
So like Lucha Libre Sunday.
Yeah.
Why haven't you taken me?
I don't know. They're on weekends.
Mostly on Sundays.
Saturdays, Sundays.
Like, you know, obviously evening shows and stuff, but.
Like, I love it. Look.
Mira nomás, Dr. Wagner right there.
I used to be a huge fan.
Used to? What happened?
Because now, like, I don't have time to go to the show.
It's true.
Like, they don't have you're still a fan.
I can watch it on YouTube or whatever, but still, like, it's not the same. And I don't know any of the new luchadores and like in the CMLL anymore.
This changes a lot. Yeah,
it changed a lot now. Triple A is gone. I think I'm not sure.
They're struggling. You know, like any business, their COVID has changed a lot of things. Dynamics have changed a lot of things. I will say this in terms of wrestling, you know, to entice you a little bit. This is one of the best times ever to be a wrestling fan. Because not only do you have so much access with the internet, right, to be able to see so many different things, so many more companies are starting to realize we got to be able to work together because fuck WWE and their fucking corporate monopoly. Like, if we don't work together, we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So that ability means that more wrestlers are having the opportunity to go to different places that normally wouldn't be able to go.
True.
So... you know, something to think about. That Lucha show idea.
Lucha.
So with Evil Cooks and then like being with Chendo at, you know, Taco Madness for LA Taco, kind of like putting you over the top. What was it like then after that, like seeing more and more people come and you start getting more attention?
So from there, like I think it was just busy in matter of, like, even caterings. Like, people were like, oh, we want to have your tacos. We want to taste your food. Like, we want to have you in our party. And we're like, let's do it. Like I always say, like, we're always down for anything. Like, if you don't try it, like, you don't know what's going to happen, you know?
It's true. It's true.
So business went really good and more, like, more media and news start like putting eyes on us, and that's how like we went out there a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And then y'all are at Smorgasbord right now. How has it been being there at Smorgasbord?
We love Smorgasbord.
I love it.
Like before, I mean, obviously before the pandemic.
So Smorgasbord was part of the domino effect on the after the Taco Madness
because of Taco Madness. Fernando had
the flan taco and he talked to
Zach
and they're like, you guys want to sell this
at Smorgan?
No, but it was the ice cream alley.
It was
in the summer.
So
we had
a tasting with Zach and with Fernando and they tasted all their dessert tacos and Zach was like, it's perfect for the summer. It was Ice Cream Alley, which they have every year. I think it's like a few weeks. And yeah, dude, like we didn't have anything. Like we didn't have a freezer, so we would buy like dry ice.
So you have to learn like as you go. Like, like now our setup's a lot different since we started. Like at that point, we needed a freezer, so we were like, what are we going to do? We don't have a freezer.
So at UCLA, they would give us hats off for stupid reasons. That's like $75. And I was like, hell yeah, to Target. And I collected how many?
Maybe probably like two or three.
Three or four. And that's how we got our first freezer.
Little by little,
So you adapt. Yeah. And yeah, from there we start at Smorgasburg. You selling dessert tacos.
We didn't sell.
Like the first week was good.
Was it? I don't know.
It was really good. Then it went down. We're like, okay.
Like fuck.
You think maybe you're in the wrong place, wrong audience.
But at the end of the day, like, Zach came and he was like, are you guys want to stay, like, in the regular market? And we're like, yeah, we can. But you have already too many taco vendors. He's like, you guys want to do something different. So we decide to do gorditas.
Gorditas and chalupas.
And chalupas. But it didn't sell that good. It was like we were struggling. We were just floating, you know?
trying to figure out.
Trying to figure it out. And then at that point, like, the show Netflix came up.
Los Tacos.
And we were like, let's do the Black Throne Pro for Halloween. So we end up reaching out with the chef in Mexico. He said yes. And we were like, let's do it just for Halloween. But people like it.
Yeah.
And I got the Recado Negro recipe for my stepdad. He's from Yucatan.
No shit.
And his family has his recipe. So I'm like, ah, let's do it. So we started doing it. And from there, like, we told on that weekend, it was Halloween weekend, we told Zach, like, can we do the trompo, the Black Trompo here at Smorgs? He's like, hell yeah, let's do it. Why not? And from there, like, it didn't stop. Like, more people was interested on it.
Yeah,
like, people,
we got super busy. And it was just the two of us.
It was
Jesus
crazy.
I was taking orders, making tortillas, doing dessert.
Oh, I was doing the tacos, and when she was really busy, I was doing my own tortillas too.
Yeah.
So
that's intense. Really, that's intense.
We end up working the two of us to five of us. Now, like, we four of us can handle it. But yeah, at some point, it was five of us.
Yeah.
Man.
That's when we were like over the top, super busy.
And then the pandemic came.
Yeah.
How has it been for y'all? Because obviously in the very beginning, we were all just walking around blind, like, what the fuck is going on? We don't know what's happening. We don't know what we can do, what we can't do. And then by that summer, we started getting more of a sense of, like, all right, this, you know, wear your mask, do this, do that. So how did y'all, like, adapt when it hit?
We took 2 months off because I was pregnant.
She was pregnant.
And so I think, like, the first month in, Alex was like, yeah.
Yeah, I was going through, like, a lot of anxiety.
I bet. Fuck.
Like, I wanted to do something. I cannot stay still, you know? So we're like, let's do something. So
he's like, let's sell mermelada.
So we started doing hibiscus mermelada. Yeah. And then I'm like, next week, like, let's mole. Use mole. We have the time, you know? Like, takes time, so let's use mole. And mm-hmm. From there, like, we started doing little things, and they were selling.
Yeah, and then May?
In May.
He's like, let's just pop up in the front.
One day. One
we,
day.
Like, we had space, and I was like, Mom! And she's like, yeah, go for it. And I think the first day, like, we got a really good, like, outcome.
And you know what? It was a really good response from the neighbors.
Like, yeah, because I was going to ask, like, you know, you if you've been to Evil Cooks where they are now on Eastern, it's a home, it's a residential area, and, like, there are a lot of people around you.
Oh, yeah. I've lived here my whole life, so everyone, like, they all know my dad, my mom. And they would come and buy food.
Oh, that's cool.
So the beginning was mostly locals.
Neighbors.
Yeah.
Also, we walked around all the little streets around here, and we put flyers.
Because she needed to walk because she was pregnant. So we're like, let's walk and just put flyers in every car.
Hell yeah.
Like,
hell
and we
yeah.
did this, like, at 9:30 at night. Like a pregnant lady fucking putting paper in the car. And we did it for maybe, like, a good month, almost every day.
Yeah.
Just
and
walking.
A lot of people used to come.
Would come with a
good
flyer.
Response.
Did it have, like, a $1 off or get, like, a coupon or something?
No.
Just like, hey, let's check out our food.
Over. Yeah.
That's hella dope.
And from there, like, I think a lot of people got the word out and more people from the outside start coming in.
Yeah. Because, you know.
And social media.
Because at that point, May, you're starting to get into summer. And at that point, things were, like, starting to get better. You know, places were allowed to open up again. Like, the policies of
takeouts.
All of that was changing. And, yeah, I mean, I was one of those folks out there también. It's like, oh, we can go to places now and, like, it's safe. We just got to wear your mask y todo eso. Let's do it. I'll take the food to go or, like, eat it in the car.
Yeah.
We got used to eating the trunk a lot.
And we still do. We're still I'd rather eat in the car.
Yeah. We just did that yesterday. We got tacos. They're like, wrap them in tinfoil. Vámonos.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We even carry chairs.
Because we love to eat in the trunk. I don't know
why. That's the next one. Because I started, like, to be like, man, this is getting really wasteful. Just going to places and, like, you know, there's a lot of containers and napkins and stuff. So I was like, what if I start taking my Tupperware to the taqueria?
And you put it right here?
Yeah. It's like, andale, señor.
We reuse a lot of things, like the napkins we have in the car.
Yeah,
ready to go.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the next step for me might be that. It's just, like, carry chairs in the car.
Yeah.
And a little table.
Yeah.
Little card table.
I've been thinking about the table, but the baby takes a lot of space that we don't have room for a table.
It's like there.
So y'all have been now here on Eastern for a minute. How I imagine it's a little easier now because, you know, you're at home. You're not lugging everything in and out of the van, right? Transporting things so you can set up and, like, you know, tear down a lot faster.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to be here at home. But we miss to go out there, too. So,
yeah.
So right now it's a balance because we get to go to Smorgasburg every Sunday. But Fridays and Saturdays, you can find us here at home.
Plus, we decided to stay here because we did try to go out more, but I think it's easier to find us here.
Yeah,
consistency.
People like to find you at one spot.
Yeah.
Because that was a struggle when we used to travel a lot. Like,
people would be like, oh, man, you're all the way over there. Like,
I feel that. So with everything that's happened, you know, now y'all found consistency. And through all of that, you're still innovating and, you know, putting it out there. You're like you said, we're down. We're going to try this. So you had the Black Pastor. That became a staple. And then last year in the summer, y'all came through with the Octopus Trompo. Like, talk about that a little bit.
So you've always had that idea of having a restaurant called Trompos?
Trompos. And do, like, different trompos. You know, like the shawarma places where they have, like, 2-3 trompos.
Yeah.
The chicken, beef.
Lamb.
So I was like, let's do, like, use trompos. And at some point, we had the 4 trompos. We had the octopus, asada,
the pork, and the vegan.
So we were used to experimenting. So before that, we were doing 3. It was the vegan, asada, and pork. And we met someone in Dallas who was doing an octopus trompo. So we became really good friends, and he saw it on social media. He was like, dude, why you're not doing the octopus? I'm like, because that's all you, like, why I'm going to do it?
That's your thing, yeah.
And he's like, no, like, go for it, like, do it, like, you guys.
He went out of the way to give us his recipe.
He's like, here's my recipe, and I told him, like, that's cool if you let us do it, but we're going to do it. If we do it, we're going to do it black, like, we're not going to do it your way. And he's like, that's cool, just do it. So that's when we were like, okay, let's just try it. Why not? And people.
The first day
was crazy. You were here.
I was here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. We got like, probably was like 30 pounds.
No, we got more than that.
No, that day was like 30
was
pounds. It?
It
was just one.
That's a lot of octopus, yeah.
And right now, like, we go through 160 pounds, 160 pounds.
And people still get mad.
And they still get mad because sometimes we run out, like it's more, we run out like a 3, 330, depending.
I'd rather y'all run out than, like, you know, give me something that's been there all day.
Yeah, that's why we don't try to go overboard because we want to give you something not old, you know, like, mm-hmm, why mm-hmm. I want to storage that really, like, old octopus for next week.
And also, we're not a restaurant, we're a small pop-up,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And people expect so much of us, it's like, I'm sorry.
Where,
like,
are people getting these expectations from?
I have no idea, but we've gotten, so when the Pulpo came out, we got so many, like, hate messages.
Oh, what? Yeah, on email.
From PETA or what?
Yeah, because that's the time where the octopus teacher came out. Octopus teacher?
My best friend, the octopus. Yeah. Really?
And so we came out on TV one day, literally right after the show.
A second after
we got,
the show.
A message on IG and an email from the same person, like, maybe continuing from what she said on IG to the email, like, you people are horrible. Go kill yourself.
Oh,
like,
shit.
People were really like,
what the fuck?
Like, but it's just an octopus.
But at the end of the day, you're not going to make everyone happy.
No.
There was a point where, like, I was like,
those are ridiculous ass people, like, making that, like, going out of their way of, like, I saw this Netflix documentary. I have to channel my anger somewhere.
And then when we would run out, people would get pissed.
Yeah, that too.
And it's like, well, why aren't you posting it? It's like, dude, like, we're fucking busy. Like, I can't. Like, if you see me stop to go on my phone, like, what the fuck? Why are you on your phone for? So it's like,
where's my order?
I can't. Like, it's like, you can't win.
Like, the thing that I have to understand that we're a small business at the end of the day, and it's just like two of us handling social media, and we're working. We're hands on our business.
Y'all do everything.
We
yeah.
have a day off.
So that's all they have to understand. Like, you still have patience. Yeah. That's it.
So, I mean, see, that already in itself is already speaking to, like, the larger issue that people have been seeing the last 2 years of, like, people just being super shitty to folks that work at restaurants, you know, waitresses, hostess, everybody, right? And it to me, I'm like, I don't know where the fuck people get off thinking that, right? That they can just treat you like shit.
It's changed when we go out. Like, last weekend, a waitress dropped a beer on me. And I was like, it's fine, like...
Like you have but to
then there's people where, man, they get fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But it's like, I understand. She was so nervous, like, shaky. I was like, dude, just
that's
relax.
That's fucking traumatized right there.
Yeah.
And like, then you see all the fucking crazy social media videos of, like, people fighting somebody because they're being told, you know, you can't come in, you're not vaccinated, you're not wearing your mask, all this other shit.
Yeah.
We didn't have any of that. People, like, when we had the whole, like, you have to have a mask to order, like, no one.
Like, everyone's respectful.
Yeah, we haven't had
any. Sure, yeah, you should.
So it was, I think during the pandemic was we were really good with that. Like everyone was respectful and wearing their mask, used to respect to others.
And
like
my sister in law would be like, if you're not wearing a mask, like get the fuck out. I'm not gonna take your order. And people would
go
back to their car.
Hell yeah, set the tone.
Yeah.
So y'all have done the flan taco. You got the black pastor. You got the black pastor octopus. One of my other favorite things that y'all did for a minute was the chilaquiles. And you still have it on the menu, the chilaquiles burrito and the chilaquiles torta. Yeah,
that's a heavy hitter.
It is.
At one point, we were doing just burritos in the mornings at Café La Primera Taza.
Yeah.
And we were just experimenting like always.
Yo, shout out to y'all for doing that because you're out there like 7, 8 a.m.
Dude, it was a struggle for like, me.
No.
It was a struggle for me because I would get off on Mondays at 1 in the morning.
Oof.
To be over there at 7.
Yeah.
For me, it was really hard because I'm not a morning person. Like, yes. I go to sleep really late. Like, I'd rather prep at night and go to sleep late. But for me to wake up that early was
that's
really
hard. I appreciate y'all because I, like, whenever y'all did that, I was like, all right, cool. Let me plan out my morning. All right, cool. Go get my food and then I'm going to make my way to work.
Yeah. So from there, we started doing, like, what it was just basic breakfast burritos. We did the winnie con huevo.
Mm-hmm.
What else we did? Chicharrón con
en salsa.
And chicharrón en salsa verde.
Nopales at one point.
Fuck, I'm getting hungry.
And one day I told her like, let's do chilaquiles, and we're like, but let's see if people buy it because you know it's a thing
it
in
is.
Mexico City.
It
the
is.
Torta de chilaquiles. We're like, let's do it. Why not? Like maybe people like it. Like it's in the morning. You're gonna be through the day like walking and they're gonna se les va a bajar. And yeah, at the end of the day we start doing it and people were buying it.
But I think for somebody who isn't you know, Mexican or you know, maybe just don't have an understanding of why somebody would do that. To me, I don't even question that. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that, right? Put a torta in a tamale, put a tamale in a torta, put chilaquiles in a torta, put a torta in a torta. Like, it's just meta food that is, speaks to, you know, being working class in Mexico. And you're like, you just want bomb food that's cheap and like fast and gets you through the day.
Yeah.
So
something that fills you up.
Yeah, it fills you up, exactly. Because I still remember when y'all were doing the cafe and I had my birthday party and I was so fucking hungover. And then, like, next, and I planned it out, like, all right, today's my birthday, and then next day, y'all are gonna be at a cafe. So I was like, I'm gonna get shit faced, and then the next day, I'm gonna go grab a chilaquiles burrito.
Para la cruda.
Yeah, I was like, as soon as I ate that burrito, I came back to life. I was like, in heaven. It was so good.
And you I had it like once, twice.
Yeah, yeah, I can't do that a lot.
So, yeah, and that one had to stay in the menu for sure.
Yeah, yeah, a good option if you are curious. And then one other thing that y'all started doing was for Valentine's Day, the heart-shaped theme. So basically y'all took the meme of like, oh, like here's how I express my love to you with a heart full of corazones.
Like we would always see the meme, and then one day, Alec, one of our friends, it was cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, why don't you guys just do it? And I was like...
because we're talking about the meme, like,
yeah,
you see it everywhere, but who sells it?
Right?
Yeah. So our friend Cheesy was like, fuck it, just do it. So I was like, let me go find some hearts.
Because his original idea was to use the dessert tacos. Because, heart shaped box. We're like, let's do it. But we're like, let's put the regular tacos. And yeah.
For what, like, it's in that heart container. Mm-hmm. Like, because when the first time y'all did it, like, I got some. I was like, there's still tacos left? Fuck. Like, and we both already had our fill.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a fucking good-ass deal. Like, the amount of food for what y'all were charging. And then the novelty of, like, I still have the heart container.
Yeah?
It's on my container. It's on my coffee table, and it's just, like, a container for random stuff.
Hell yeah, dude. I hope that's what people do with it. Because I go running around town looking for those
boxes. Oh, my God. I can only imagine, because you're not the only person looking for, like, heart containers.
No, I was on top of it. I was, the first day that those boxes came out, I was like, see you later, buddy.
At some point, wanted to order from directly from the provider, but you have to buy, like, 5,000. Like,
that's a lot of space.
Like, we don't have the space. We might be able to buy them and probably sell them to other vendors.
That's just more work.
But still, it's a lot of space.
This is more work than y'all need, yeah. So you're out here going to Moscatel's or what?
I don't know. I've never heard of that store.
Oh, it's an arts and crafts store in downtown by the Flower District.
Fuck.
Anything and everything you could ever think of for, like, whatever time of the year it is, there's always a holiday or a holiday around the corner, right? Moscatel's is your go-to place for that kind of stuff.
Moscatel's, I'm going to remember that now.
Yeah.
I'm already stocked up.
Yeah, so you're set. So you're set with that. So that's coming up for Valentine's Day. And then the one we were talking about in the beginning is the McSatan taco. So how did that one come about? Like, first of all, tell people what it is, too.
The McSatan taco is a cheeseburger taco. It came up with, like I always say, like from my childhood. One time, my aunt used to sell toys for Dia de los Reyes in Mexico.
Yeah.
So we used to travel from Guanajuato to Mexico City to buy toys by bulk. And to be honest, in Mexico, like, it's not that cheap to go used to McDonald's and buy a burger.
Yeah.
So it used to be this taco spot, Tacos Don Toño. All he used to do was, like, a hamburger taco. So he comes from there, like.
All right.
And he still's open. I think the daughter is the one in charge now. They sell the tortilla with the patty.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a salsa bar, and you can put any salsa you want, any toppings you want. That's all they do. So when we did it, we were like, it's an honor to him. Like, I remember the first time that I had that taco. It was, like, amazing. Having a hamburger and a taco, cheap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's use a cheeseburger taco, like a bacon cheeseburger taco. Because I love Troy's. And I always get, like, the cheeseburger. And we're like, let's do it in a taco. Why not? And the first time that I did it with their patty and their avocado and their bacon. Like, I took a tortilla, and I'm like, this is perfect. We have to do it.
Any food that we would make, you would put in a tortilla.
Essentially,
my dad would do the same thing.
Like, for me, comida china.
About to say, man. Like, sometimes I'm eating chow mein. It's like, man, I would really like a tortilla right now. Or
when,
like,
we go to a Korean barbecue.
Yeah, you bring, saca la bolsita.
Next time I'm going to take the molcajete.
But I think part of that, too, comes from, like, you know, we'll go out. We'll go eat somewhere, right? We bring home leftovers. And, like, oh, cool. Like, there's orange chicken. Let me heat it up and, like, warm up some tortillas, orange chicken tacos.
When I used
to
work, like, in this Italian restaurant, we used to do spaghetti tacos or lasagna tacos.
Fuck yeah,
just take the tortillas and whatever.
Say, the perfect vehicle for food. Yeah. See, but that's also something I love about y'all. Is that every time y'all, like, you know, decide you're going to try something out, you know, people fuck with it really hard. It's always delicious. But then it's also something where y'all are paying tribute to somebody else, right? Because, you know, you saw that they did it and you're like, man, that's so dope. We would love to do something like that or our version of that, right? And even the same with the McSatan, right? It's from a memory of a place that you actually went to and you're like, damn, like, I would have never had the opportunity to try that taco. So for you to bring it here is like, damn, I get to experience a little bit of that from
and you.
You
don't see it here.
Hell no.
Like, you see different versions, like, But like I always say, like, nothing in this world is original. Like,
for you sure. always
adjust it to whatever place you go.
Like, you didn't do it, dude.
It's an evolution. Like, nobody, you didn't invent the Goodyear wheels. Like, somebody did the wheel already.
It's just the brand, yeah.
You just have to make evolution do it better.
Put your own spin on it. Yeah. Exactly.
Your own spin. Like, a lot of people get into it, like, oh, but this place did it first. Yeah, and that's cool. A tribute to them.
Thank you.
Like, respect to them. Like,
yeah, you're not out here, like, lifting or anything. You come with respect. You're honoring where it's coming from, and you still put your own
like,
original spin.
I'm sure
spin.
Someone else did a dessert taco before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Choco taco.
You know? Right. Yeah. You know? So,
right. So with that being said, is there anything that y'all are like, you know, in the back of your mind, like, maybe we should try that?
Yeah, we just did. Oh, Memo hasn't posted it, huh? Oh. Oops.
So eventually.
Well, I saw it because I'm on the LA Taco Slack, so I saw what was going on.
So,
and that was actually the same day I came after him, too.
Yeah, so then I told Alex, I'm like, do you think he came there, like, for it?
I don't remember his name, but one of your photographers guys came, too.
Yeah, I'm really? Like
Brian, Memo,
Brian.
So
Brian.
Memo had left literally like 5 minutes.
That's hilarious. Brian
and then I'm like, did you just miss Memo? Or were you guys supposed to meet up? He's like, no. I was like, oh. And then you show up. I was like, hey.
So eventually, we're gonna do a tasting menu, use tacos, and the all you can eat tacos. And
something y'all have played around before.
But we're refining it.
Now it's gonna be more like.
Like a prefix?
Like
type
a prefix
of
type of thing, but they're gonna be able to try all our tacos from our menu, but I'm gonna be creating new tacos on the spot.
Okay.
Like a freestyle type of thing, but I'm gonna try to make it nice, like more fine dining type of thing.
All right, more presentation.
So it's gonna be a challenge for me, and I love that type
all
of thing.
All right, because
like
before
I have to create on the spot.
Before y'all were doing like, hey, like you can pay this much. And we'll feed you tacos until you can't eat no more.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, yeah.
I took that like as a challenge. It's like, whoa. Like, I don't know if I can put my body through that.
And you know what? Just one guy ate 13 tacos.
Huh? 16.
16?
16 tacos. Those are,
those
like,
are pretty heavy.
Y'all are like, don't play around with your tacos. Mm-hmm. They're like pretty, like, hefty tacos.
And so we thought about something new, the flanquito. It's a taquito with flan inside, with our flan.
And we deep fry it and then dust it with some cinnamon sugar.
Got some
and that's a tribute to my childhood already here in Long Beach when I used to go to this place, Holy Moly, and they used to have flanquitos back in the day. They don't have it anymore. I don't know why, but they were pretty good. So that's like a tribute to them.
Like, have you ever had warm flan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never had. So when I took a bite, I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's some good stuff.
So we're going to do the flanquito. And that's just one. Like, we're going to try to play a lot with different
ingredients. Different flavors, different profiles. Because the flanquito, I'm like, all right, I see what that is. I can perfectly visualize it in my mind of where, like, y'all are reaching from and what it'll be. Because I love that, right? The crunchiness and then the custard. On the inside, gives you a nice mix. So that's something to look forward to. When do y'all think you're going to have that ready for folks?
We're shooting for March. Well, we'll see because we want to adapt the gate to like a shelf, like a type of taquería.
I gotcha.
And I'm
going to
be on the other side of the gate, just giving you your tacos, and you're going to be.
That's really clever. Yeah. You just put like, and the gate is kind of like I'm short, kind of like chest level for me. So
we're going to put banquitos like this.
Yeah. That's fucking dope. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be nice. So
it's going to be like a street taqueria menu. And Memo came up with the name already. Because, you know, they call it I forgot the name. Now I have the name of
omikasi or tamakasi?
We're going to call it the kamakasi. Kamakasi menu. But we call it that because I didn't want to call it the omakase menu.
Yeah, that's a more formal word.
Yeah, more formal.
Kamikaze.
Kamikaze. So we're working on that.
All right. Hell yeah. So, all right. So, I mean, y'all are still innovating with the food game. Now y'all are, like, moving forward with something different. So y'all are starting your own podcast.
Yeah.
So tell folks what it is. What's the name of it?
We've always talked about, like, our experiences in the kitchen, like, fucked up days between me and him. And
just sharing war stories, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, fuck it, let's do a podcast. And just everyone wants to get, like, the good side. Like, we want to get the dirty, the bad stuff, the bad side, like, of the kitchen.
The five-second rule.
Like, at the end of the day, like, what's your worst day? What was your worst
okay.
day? Like, have you never, you did any drugs? Your worst, like, hangover, going
to work, hungover, the day that you burned something, and then it was like...
Or you were drunk when you were working, or some shit like that. We want to talk about those stories.
The not so glamorous in the kitchen.
Hence the title, The Dark Side of the Cooks.
The Dark Side of the Cooks.
Nice. Yeah.
And the idea came up, like, the name has been out there for a long time. Like, I've been writing a book, so that's the actual name of my book. But still, like, it's perfect for different type of things, like for the podcast or whatever else we have in the future. Like,
It's funny, because I was, like, already thinking about that. Like, ooh, that'll be interesting to hear, you know, stories about, like, you know, shit that happens behind the scenes, right? As somebody who's never worked at a kitchen, right, at a restaurant, and knows the intimate, like, details of what can happen, what has happened, and, you know, trying to get a better understanding of what it is to be back there and what y'all have to deal with, you know, as you're prepping the food and getting it out there to folks.
At the end of the day, like, if we tell these stories, people will think that it's fun at the end of the day. Like, any other job, like, they have their stories, fun stories.
Hell yeah. And you already have one episode up, right?
Man, it took us... How many times have we done this?
I don't know, like, a lot of times. Because we didn't know how to mess with the equipment.
Yep. As y'all saw me doing as well, también.
So, just trying to figure things out.
But yeah, we have one episode out. It's the episode 0. It was just me and Elvia talking about, like, what's going to happen, what we want to talk about. That was basically it. Now we're going to have a guest tonight. We're going to record tonight.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, so I'm like the warm-up today.
Yeah. We're going to have a guest, and let's see. Like, we don't have, like, nothing said yet, but we have, like, a couple of things that we're going to add to every episode, but we want to see how it goes.
For sure.
Let it flow somehow.
Go with it. Yeah, I mean, that's totally the way y'all work, right?
Even we're planning to bring some tacos and maybe have some tacos at the moment.
Hell yeah.
I don't even know what's going on.
Some ASMR.
I know. I get hungry.
We were munching on pistachios?
Chips, pistachios, and strawberries.
So
last
I'm sure
time.
You could hear, like, oh my God.
You become, as y'all are going to find out when you start doing this, you become very aware and self-aware of, like, the noises you make.
Yes. Yeah. So then the first one that we did, you know, we filmed it, and it's like, I'm just fidgeting. And it's like, oh my God, Elvia, like, stop moving. And it's like, no, let's not record yet.
It takes a while to get the hang of it, for sure. It's not something that's not, I mean, for some people it is, but it's something you learn, like anything else.
Like anything
right?
else.
You get used to it. So definitely looking forward to that. Where can folks find the show?
Right now, we've only figured it out on Spotify.
But eventually, we want to put it on iTunes, the most platforms that we can.
Yeah. Major streaming platform.
But right now, it's on Spotify under The Dark Side of the Cook.
Yeah, I was listening to the first episode. Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see what y'all do with the show. To close it up, so... Where can folks find Evil Cooks online?
Online, you could, on Instagram, you could find us at evil_cooks. Twitter?
Twitter, we have a Twitter.
You have a Twitter. I don't think you're on it that much.
We're not on it that much. I think the only platform that we're, like,
it's on
constant
Instagram.
Is on Instagram.
Like, if you're trying to see the menu, see the hours, check the Instagram.
Check our bio. Saturdays, we do a lot of caterings. So, but Friday's for sure here at the headquarters in El Sereno. Sunday's for sure every Sunday. At Smorgasburg from 10 to 4.
Saturday here, or if he changes, like, we're really good at...
posting it up.
Posting it
up. It's just people gotta read.
Yeah.
Gotta read.
Do your diligence. That's become a thing I've gotten better at, I will say, since all of this has happened, about calling and checking if, like, places are gonna be there.
Yeah. I've had Alex be like, are you guys open? It's like, Alex, you can't message them. You need to look at their bio. Stop being those people.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. You know, a little effort goes a long way.
Yeah. It'll make you feel good.
Yeah, and then Dark Side of the Cooks has their own IG también.
Yeah.
That's just
the Dark Side of the Cooks.
All one word, bam. Follow them, keep up. So, yeah, thanks again, y'all, for being here.
Thank you
being guests, inviting me over. And more than anything, all the fucking delicious food y'all have served me over the years. It's been, like, kind of, like, you can see my panza. It's like, hello. I've been enjoying myself.
Like, panzas don't lie instead of hips don't lie.
Wow. Thank you for supporting us.
Of course. So much, you know, anything I can do, get the word out. Looking forward to that new menu coming out, you know, in the spring. And, yeah, you know, keep up with them on social media. And this has been Orale Bowl Heights.